Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Michael B. This is Mike's Hot Seat, Left is Never Right, knocking out the New World Order, one libtard at a time. And speaking of libtards, I would like to give a friendly hello to one of my Facebook friends, not really, Jerry Hines. Jerry likes to call me Elmer Fudd. Well, here's one for you, Jerry. Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting libtards. At any rate, Jerry is worried about my sporadic cough and said that I should have it checked. Well, Jerry, it is due to allergies, and they come and go. And also, it comes under stress. And it is very stressful to see what's going on in this world. And I know there's some of you out there that say, you know, love is life is love. Walk around, you know, with the deer in the headlights look and, you know, whatever, and pay no attention at all. Well, evil only triumphs when good men and women do nothing. So I think that between now in the election, I certainly will do all I can to reach whoever I can. And if I can sway 10 people to vote for Trump who are on the fence about it or are picking Gary Johnson, Daryl Castle, or Jill Stein, then I have done something. When I go out in public, I routinely wear my Hillary for Prison t-shirt. It's a good conversation piece from Infowars.com/store. I feel it's necessary to raise awareness. Now, when election day is over, it doesn't matter who wins. As far as my show goes, I will reevaluate if I'm going to continue. But certainly, I feel it is important that I do so. And also, Jerry, you know, if my cough is something more serious, well, even though we fear the unknown, so there's always that doubt. Aside from that, I have faith through Jesus Christ that there is something better waiting for me than what's here. So part of me is afraid of death. Most of me is not. And quite frankly, I welcome it. Because I don't think that, I don't think I really want to be around another 10, 20, 30 years. No, I think, you know, I would first be afraid if I was told I had 6 months to live or whatever. But after the initial shock of it, I think I'd be okay. I do. I really think that I would be okay with it. So moving right along, let's look at who I'm calling for now, since Ted Cruz is irrelevant, Lion Hill. And then with the real Tim Kaine, please stand up. Time permitting, we will talk about the Temple of Satan petitioning to get after-school programs in elementary schools. And I will discuss what the Satanic temple, whatever, really is, and what they're really trying to do. And again, time permitting, I will then update all of you with the list of recent Muslim fundamental terror attacks around the world. If I can't get to one or two of those topics by 10:30, I will roll over that material till tomorrow. I have three clips. Two I definitely want to play. They pertain to Hillary. And again, one pertains to fundamental Islam. You will not hear me say, in regards to Islam, two words, radical and extreme. For they are not radical, they are not extreme, by many imams' own admission, many Muslim leaders' own admission. There is no such thing as moderate, radical, or extreme Islam. There is only Islam. So let's move on to Lion Hill. And we want to talk about, again, how Hillary Clinton absolutely lied over her foreign policy as Secretary of State in regards to Libya. Now, I found a wonderful website a few weeks ago, which I pointed out 10 really good things that Muammar Gaddafi was doing for Libya. And the 10th point was the most striking, in that Libya did not have a central bank. Post Muammar Gaddafi, now they do. So let's move on to this first article from Freedom Outpost. If genocide were truly her motive, wouldn't Hillary and Obama have moved to the save Christians and religious minorities from genocide in Syria? Moved to save, rather. From genocide in Syria and Iraq back in 2012. We issued a call to the Obama administration warning of the impending genocide of Christians. It elicited a nary yawn from the yellow pantsuits. January 12, 2012, Stop Islamization of Nations, Sion, calls on UN to protect Christians of Syria from impending genocide. The crushing historical failure in Libya, the rise of ISIS in Africa, the spread of Islamic wars across Africa and the Middle East are a direct result of Hillary and Obama's foreign policy jihad. Apparently, there are tapes from Army intelligence that undercut Hillary's primary argument for Libyan military action. The intelligence community gathered no specific evidence of an impending genocide in Libya in spring 2011, undercutting then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's primary argument for using the U.S. military to remove Muammar Gaddafi from power, which cast his country into chaos. And yes, it has. Pentagon's plan for Saif Gaddafi. And in this website from Freedom Outpost, which I will be posting later today on Facebook, if you click the links below, you can listen to the tape. So, Pentagon's plan for Saif Gaddafi, the son of Muammar. Pentagon source describing to Gaddafi regime Pentagon's plan to perhaps get Saif Gaddafi to lead country after his father steps down. Pentagon source. A Pentagon source telling Gaddafi regime about mistrust of information coming from the State Department. Gaddafi advisor describing conversation with U.S. intelligence official. Gaddafi advisor Mohammed Ismail talking to Pentagon liaison about a prior conversation he had with high-ranking U.S. intelligence official regarding alleged Libya military actions. And again, you can listen to that tape. when I post the article. Dennis Kucinich. Congressman Dennis Kucinich, Democrat of Ohio, speaking with Saif Gaddafi regarding the ground for NATO intervention in Libya. Dennis Kucinich and Saif Gaddafi with NATO. Congressman, again, telling Saif that Qatar is manipulating NATO. We then move on. Pentagon intelligence asset, Benghazi rebels. Pentagon intelligence asset tells Libyan official U.S. may use frozen Gaddafi funds to finance Benghazi rebels. Dennis Kucinich and Saif al-Islam Gaddafi terrorists. The congressman again telling Gaddafi that Qatar is supporting terrorists in Libya. Now, the voice of the Pentagon intelligence assets was digitally altered to protect his identity at the request of defense officials. So, again, I will be putting this out on Facebook, and I have not listened to the tapes yet. I will do so later today, and they will be posted. So, I want to go to that clip on Lion Hill. Now, this is a 9-minute clip, but I promise you, it will keep you engaged. And it will include her Bosnia recollection and a whole lot more. So, and please remember, this is Hillary Clinton, the politician. So let's not try to draw similarities between Trump, the businessman, who, I mean, let's face it, he had to work with people that were in charge. Wait, that's when you're at that level of business, you unfortunately have to work within that boundary to forward your plans. I mean, that's just the way it is, folks. I'm not saying it's great. This is business. This isn't, the Boy Scouts. So let's listen to 9 minutes of Lion Hill.
You were against same-sex marriage. Now you're for it. You defended President Obama's immigration policies. Now you say they're too harsh. You supported his trade deal dozens of times. You even called it the gold standard. Now, suddenly, last week, you're against it. Will you say anything to get elected?
Well, actually, I have been very consistent over the course of my entire life. I have always fought for the same values and principles.
Do you think New York State should recognize gay marriage?
No.
No. Okay.
I believe that marriage is not just a bond, but a sacred bond between a man and a woman.
I support marriage for lesbian and gay couples. I support it personally and as a matter of policy and law.
So you're saying your opinion on gay marriage changed, or you changed your mind?
I have to say, I think you are being very persistent, but you are playing with my words and playing with what is such an
important
issue.
I'm just trying to clarify so I can understand.
No, I don't think you are trying to clarify. I think you're trying to say that, I used to be opposed and now I'm in favor and I did it for political reasons, and that's just flat wrong. So let me just state what I feel like you are implying and repudiate it. I have a strong record. I have a great commitment to this issue, and I am proud of what I've done and the progress we're making.
Yeah, I just want to clarify what I was saying. No, I was saying that you maybe really believe this all along, but, believe in gay marriage all along, but felt for political reasons America wasn't ready yet and you couldn't say it. That's what I was thinking.
No.
Just in July in New Hampshire, you told the crowd you, quote, take a backseat to no one when it comes to progressive values.
I take a backseat to no one when you look at my record and standing up and fighting for progressive values.
Last month in Ohio, you said you plead guilty to, quote, being kind of moderate and center. Do you change your political identity based on who you're talking to?
No. I think that, like most people that I know, I have a range of views, but they are rooted in my values and my experience.
I get accused of being kind of moderate and center. I plead guilty.
Just for the record, are you a progressive or are you a moderate?
I'm a progressive. I represented Wall Street as a senator from New York, and I went to Wall Street in December of 2007, before the big crash that we had, and I basically said, cut it out. Quit foreclosing on homes. Quit engaging in these kinds of speculative behaviors.
Now, who's exactly to blame for the housing crisis? And I think there's plenty of blame to go around. Home buyers who paid extra fees to avoid documenting their income should have known they were getting in over their heads.
Of course we have to deal with the problem that the banks are still too big to fail. We can never let the American taxpayer and middle-class families ever have to bail out the kind of speculative behavior that we saw. But we also have to worry about some of the other players. AIG, a big insurance company. Lehman Brothers, an investment bank. There's this whole area called shadow banking. That's where the experts tell me the next potential problems had come from. So I'm with both Senator Sanders and Governor O'Malley in putting a lot of attention onto the banks. And the plan that I have put forward would actually empower regulators to break up big banks.
Time and time again, you hear one thing in speeches, and then you see a campaign that has the worst kind of tactics, reminiscent of the same sort of Republican attacks on Democrats. Well, I am here to say that it is not only wrong, but it is undermining core Democratic principles. Since when do Democrats attack one another on universal health care?
I've looked at the legislation that Senator Sanders has proposed, and basically he does eliminate the Affordable Care Act, eliminates private insurance, eliminates Medicare, eliminates Medicaid, TRICARE, Children's Health Insurance Program.
Just because Senator Obama chose not to present a universal health care plan does not give him the right to attack me because I did. So let's have a real campaign. Enough with the speeches and the big rallies and then using tactics that are right out of Karl Rove's playbook. This is wrong, and every Democrat should be outraged.
The Democratic Party in the United States worked since Harry Truman to get the Affordable Care Act passed.
So shame on you, Barack Obama. It is time you ran a campaign consistent with your messages in public.
Hillary Clinton's attempt to tout her foreign policy experience hounded her again on the campaign trail today.
I made a mistake in describing it.
She claimed she misspoke last week and was sleep deprived when she described landing under sniper fire in Tuzla, Bosnia, something that didn't happen. But CBS News has found several times in the past few months when Senator Clinton used the Bosnia trip to try to show her international experience. December in Iowa.
You know, we landed in one of those corkscrew landings and ran out because they said there might be sniper fire. I don't remember anybody offering me tea on the tarmac when that was happening.
Then in February.
The welcoming ceremony had to be moved inside because of sniper fire.
And last week.
I remember landing under sniper fire. We basically were told to run to our cars. Now that is what happened.
Differing accounts of your trip to Bosnia, and I'm wondering if you could even clarify. I know you were called, ducking under sniper fire, and Sinbad, in his account, who was on the trip, he said that the most dangerous part was remembering where he was going to eat next.
He's a comedian, you know, Jeff.
So you actually recall, hearing gunfire, and were you
When we were flying into Bosnia, we came in a evasive maneuver. There was no greeting ceremony, and we basically were told to run to our cars. Now that is what happened.
After CBS News video showed what really happened when she landed and greeted officials, Senator Clinton maintained there were risks, but explained to the Philadelphia Daily News why she was seen on the Bosnian tarmac greeting a young child if it was really so dangerous.
I was also told that the greeting ceremony had been moved away from the tarmac, but that there was this 8-year-old girl, and I said, well, I can't rush by her. I've got to at least greet her. So I greeted her, I took her stuff, and I left. Now that's my memory of it.
Good to see you.
Once again, her memory doesn't match our videotape. She and her daughter Chelsea lingered on the tarmac to greet U.S. military officials, took photos. There was a group of 7th graders on the tarmac, too. And then Senator Clinton walked to the armored vehicle where she did eventually duck and enter.
It was one of the highlights of President Clinton's first term, passage of the North American Free Trade Agreement, also known as NAFTA. Critics blame NAFTA for the loss of manufacturing jobs in industrial states, including Ohio and Pennsylvania. Hillary Clinton helped get NAFTA approved. She held at least 5 meetings to strategize about how to win congressional approval. She helped the White House block opposition from labor and environmental groups. And she was a featured speaker at a crucial meeting. Participants in that event said, quote, her remarks were totally pro-NAFTA. There was no equivocation for her support for NAFTA at the time.
You know, I have been a critic of NAFTA from the very beginning.
My concerns about NAFTA expressed years ago have been well documented and verified.
I didn't have a public position on it.
I have spoken consistently against NAFTA.
And if you look at what I have been saying, it has been consistent.
I have been consistent.
You can go back and look at from the very beginning.
I was one of the voices in the administration warning about NAFTA.
You said it was good on balance for New York and America in 2004. And now you're in Ohio, and your words are much different, Senator. The record is very clear.
Well, you don't have all the records, because you can go back and look at what I've said consistently.
Oh, I think that everybody is in favor of free and fair trade, and I think that NAFTA is proving its worth.
I think that balanced NAFTA has been good for New York and America.
Was NAFTA a mistake?
NAFTA was a mistake to the extent that it did not deliver on what we had hoped it would.
Your opponents are saying that that's really part of a larger pattern with you, that you often avoid taking firm positions on controversial issues.
That's awesome, isn't it? The Bosnia one, that's really my favorite. Wow. And Hillary Clinton held several meetings with Congress as First Lady to whip the votes, if you will, to pass NAFTA. You know, I know that Donald Trump has changed his position from pro-choice, really pro-death, to pro-life. But, you know, he admitted to it, and he gave the reason. And the reason was that based on a personal experience involving a close friend of his, he saw that infanticide is indeed wrong. He was honest about it. He came clean about it, and I believe him. Whereas if Hillary Clinton, who, again, unprovoked, not even in a campaign run, just goes about lying. It's in her nature. And I'm not the only one that feels that way. Let's hear what Judge Knapp has to say about Hillary Clinton.
I don't know, because just like your previous segment about Donald Trump getting in the fight with the Khan family, she gets in a fight over the truth, and these things take on a lives of their own.
Yeah, there's no good outcome.
It would be out of her character for her to say, I stand chastised. This shall not happen again. I'm sorry to tell you, her character is to lie. It has been her modus operandi going back to the Whitewater days.
She had a 30...
Lion Hill. It's Donald Trump versus Lion Hill. And then we have her running mate, Tim Kaine. Will the real Tim Kaine please stand up? This guy has had a long-running career in Virginia, and he has flip-flopped on the Second Amendment time and time again. When it was convenient for him, he stood firm on gun control. There is no issue in the city that is more important than gun violence, he said. I can't think of an issue I'd rather be aligned with than this. But then, just the following year, when Tim Kaine decided to run for lieutenant governor, he needed to convince rural Virginia voters that he wasn't too liberal. He rebranded himself as an outdoorsman who supports the Second Amendment and appreciates guns used for sport. Now, the Second Amendment was not meant for sport or to just hunt and fish. No, it was for self-defense. And it was to defend a free state against a tyrannical government. He had camel-style bumper stickers printed. He played up his role in helping to insert language in the state constitution that guaranteed Virginia's right to hunt and fish. Well, that's what William Weld, Gary Johnson, that flaming libtard's running mate seems to think that's what it is. Tim Kaine also enlisted a rural sheriff to vouch for him on a radio spot. To hear him say it during the governor's race, he was pro-Second Amendment, no restrictions. His former state attorney general, Jerry Kilgore, who lost to Kaine, that's not been his life in public policy. I've said all along, he will say anything an audience wants to hear. So, this guy, Tim Kaine, is just going to be like Hillary Clinton, which is probably why she picked him. Yes, Hillary. I'll say anything, Hillary. Just pick me, Hillary. And that's the end of it. Larry Roberts, who became chief counsel to then-Governor Kaine, said the 2005 campaign strategy did not rely on the rural vote so much as on the state's fast-growing, moderate suburbs. Even so, Kaine had to tread lightly on guns, he said. Quote, our view was, we needed to win over suburban voters. They're sort of mixed on gun control, even in that time. Clearly, you could not easily win in Virginia if you took the posture of a New York or California candidate on gun control. That would just not have worked in 2005. Kaine said in a radio ad, I am conservative on issues of personal responsibility. As a former Christian missionary, faith is central to my life. I oppose homosexual marriage. I support restrictions on abortion. No public funding and parental consent. And I've worked to pass a state law banning partial birth abortion. So that is your Tim Kaine. Except today, he supports same-sex marriage. He remains personally opposed to abortion, but he supports the right of women to terminate their pregnancy. Well, then, you cannot be personally opposed to infanticide if you support the right of women to terminate their unborn children. You see, you can't have it both ways. It's either one or it's the other. So we have Lion Hill and we have Flip-Flop Kaine, as opposed to Donald Trump. You pick. So with a few minutes remaining, and I'm going to post that article too. With, I want to go to, and I'm going to, this will be the closing article, a Satan after school club could be coming to your kids' elementary school. What is the Satanic Temple? Doug Messner, who goes by the professional name Lucian Greaves, is co-founder and spokesman for the Satanic Temple, a group of political activists who are seeking to establish after-school Satan clubs as a counterpart to fundamentalist Christian good news clubs, which they see as an attempt to infiltrate public education and erode the constitutional separation of church and state. Well, there is no, once again, separation of church and state. The First Amendment guarantees the right to express one's religion. It does not separate religion from the state. The only restriction on the First Amendment is on the government to create a church of the United States. That is the restriction. Period. End of story. Salem, Massachusetts, and it's probably not a coincidence. It's a hot summer night, and leaders of the Satanic Temple have gathered in the crimson-walled living room of a Victorian manse in the city renowned for its witch trials in the 17th century. They're watching a Sepitone video in which children dance around a maypole. A spider crawls across a clown's face, and eerie ambient chanting gives way to a backward demonic voiceover. The group chuckles with approval. It's critical, and this is quote Mr. Mesner, it's critical that children understand that there are multiple perspectives on all issues and that they have a choice in how they think. Well, what this is about is the group's plan for public school children isn't actually about promoting worship of the devil. The Satanic Temple doesn't espouse a belief in the existence of a supernatural being that other religions identify solemnly as Satan or Lucifer or Beelzebub. The temple rejects all forms of supernaturalism and is committed to the view that scientific rationality provides the best measure of reality. So, what really is the hidden agenda of the Satan, Temple of Satan? Well, I'm going to tell you what it is. This is to promote, which is, by the way, satanic in its root, secular humanism. And we have the, which is also called transhumanism. We have the Human Manifesto number 2. Reject traditional religious beliefs and seek new human purposes and goals. Humanists proclaim there is no defined purpose or providence for the human species. No deity will save us. We must save ourselves. Reject, as both illusory and harmful, the promises of immortal salvation or fear of eternal damnation, which are the basis of both Judaic and Christian beliefs. Believe that moral values derive from human experience. In other words, moral ambiguity, it changes on the fly. Ethics is autonomous and situational. Thank you. That's what I just said. And that we should strive for the good life here and now. Well, many people associate the good life with the high life, meaning the more materially successful you are, the better your life is. And we know that that's not exactly true. Believe that reason and intelligence will guide mankind to a better world. Well, I'm going to ask you, ladies and gentlemen. We have communism and atheism permeating into our Judeo-Christian country. I'm just going to ask you point blank. In the last 50 years, how has it worked for you? With this rationalism that they like to call it, with this progressivism that they like to call it, how has it worked out? I'm going to say I don't think it's worked out too well. Support concepts of individual freedom, such as an individual right to die with dignity, euthanasia, and the right to suicide. And, oh, here it is. Advocate the separation of church and state, and the separation of ideology and state. This program was designed to remove both God and prayer from our public schools. This is exactly what the Satanic Temple is all about. It's another branch of transhumanism, which is within Satanism. So it's a circular situation. It all boils back to indeed an evil supernatural being, because you cannot have one without the other. If good exists, so does evil, or you would not know what good is. Certainly, God exists, and certainly the devil exists. Now, is he walking around with pointy ears and pitchforks? No. The same way that God does not have white hair and a white beard. So, what we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen, is pushing atheism, transhumanism, and rationalism to our young children. I'll read the last one and then we'll close. Advocate the elimination of all discrimination based on race, religion, sex, age, or national origin, and the right to universal education. They also oppose sexism or sexual chauvinism. This requires government control over every aspect of our lives. I want to just talk about quickly national origin. What that really means, ladies and gentlemen, is that they want to get rid of national pride in your country. That's part of the one world order. That is part of just making you into a gray robot. This is to make the masses poor and the elite class have everything. I see that I have a call. Let's see what this is all about. Area code 225, welcome to my top seat. Left is never right.
Hey, Michael, it's Danny. Yeah, so them wanting to bring Satanism into the school is going to do two different things. For one, it's going to make people want to further reduce the, you know, religion in schools. And it's also going to further the transhuman, like you were talking earlier, which is a sin. And it's going to further people's arrogance against God and thinking that we can become something more than God. It says
correct.
In the Bible, at the end of times, there will be such arrogance in the world. Today, we may not even be able to recognize the kind of arrogance that would actually be going on the day of God's return or Jesus' return. But I firmly believe
agreed.
That the devil's idea in putting Satanism groups into elementary schools is to make other people see it as a bad thing. And just to keep their kids away from that, they may be willing to keep their kids away from all of it altogether.
Well, I agree, Danny. And the thing, see, the Satanic Temple is being very clever here. They're using the name. They see they have to pay homage to their God, and the God is Lucifer. But yet they're going to rationalize it, saying, well, you know, it's not really the devil. You know, we really want to talk about, you know, separation of church and state. And, you know, we want to talk about how science really is the way to go. And it's, like I said, it's a circular path, and it all leads to the same place. And it all leads to confusion. And it leads to watering down our values, not just as Christians, but, you know, Christianity stands for really universal law. Everything in the Gospels can actually apply to everyone. But you see, the Gospels and all of the Pauline letters, they have one theme, Danny, and that is personal accountability. For instance, you want to have premarital sex, so did I. You know, and there's four outcomes that can happen, and a combination of any of the four. You can have a great time, you can have a bad time, you could catch a disease, and you could get a woman pregnant. And my feeling is that if you can't reconcile all four of those outcomes, then you keep your legs closed on both ends, the man and the female. But you see, transhumanism gives you an out. Oh, if you make a mistake, well, you know, we could just go to an abortion clinic and, well, we could just wipe it all away and make it nice, like it never happened. Because, see, after all, you know, there really is no God and there really is no accountability, and so what? Jana, your thoughts on that?
I completely agree with how you just put that. See, the reason why I thought transhumanism was a sin was because of the arrogance that it would spread throughout the human race. But you're right, that completely takes away all accountability. That hadn't yet to even cross my mind. And on that, is that you're exactly right, that once you take away human accountability for things, who knows what, you know, we might be capable of when we don't have to no longer be responsible for our actions.
Well, exactly. I mean, if you have nothing to lose, why wouldn't you just do it? And that's
right.
The whole point. And that's right. And that's the whole point where Jesus said, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, because everything else falls into line. You're not going to rob. You're not going to cheat. You're not going to rape. You're not going to murder. But
well, can I ask you a question?
Take away all those things. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Say transhumanism, it can involve, and more than likely would involve, putting your conscious to a computer of sorts. Now, to destroy a being, a transhuman being, or you know this computer, it would have its own conscious mind. You know, granted, and it's still some form of symbiotic relationship between that computer and a person. So to destroy that person that had succumbed to that and became that computer, I don't really know how to explain it. Would you consider that to be a sin also, because it now has its own conscious mind?
So are you saying if we get to the point where we can download a person's consciousness into like an eternal robot, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I feel like that's what transhuman would actually become. I know that there's a lot about, you know, we watch the superhero movies and all that. I know that's a form of transhuman also, but transhuman, in my mind, actually inevitably be us putting our consciousness into a computer. Me being the specific sci-fi geek that I am, you know, that's kind of what I see on TV that involves transhuman.
What the eugenicists want. That's exactly, and that's why the Agenda 21, which is now morphed into Agenda 2030, which is a technocracy takeover, and that's exactly what we're seeing. That's exactly what they want. They want to eliminate between 80% and 90% of the human population, which they see as useless, which is why they came up with this fake global warming nonsense. And when that was exposed, they had to change it to climate change, and duh, the climate, you know, does change. I don't know about destroying that. I think if we're able to download ourselves, if we get to that point, then I think then we have already lost, and we won't be in that position anyway. So I really don't have a definitive answer. I really don't, because if we do get to that point, then we've lost.
The 1% class and people like Hillary Clinton would just flip a switch away with regular, you know, Joes like ourselves. Honestly, people don't see their eye to eye to their own opinions, and that would be how they could do it, was to, you know, hook everybody essentially up to these machines and then just flip a switch.
Well, see, that's what the talk is about, the microchip, right?
Exactly.
You know, we've seen parents here and there, we've heard articles here and there where they chipped their kid because, you know, a traumatic event happened where they lost the child, they got it back, oh, can't have that. We see that our animals are chipped almost sometimes automatically, right, when you get them from a breeder or whatnot, and so you can find them. And see, that's the guise of security, right? See, that's how they play it. They offer security. They offer a guarantee, and it's a very nice carrot. So we like that carrot. But in essence, right, it's like the self-driving cars that are coming out with Uber and Google and Tesla. You're at the mercy of whoever owns that chip. Also, who's to say that networks can't be hacked? And you have someone, you know, turning us off. I certainly don't want to be under that. And Danny, we have another call. Let's take it real quick. I've got about 5 minutes, then I got to run. So let's look at 843. Welcome to Mike Toxie. Left is never right. 843, you're live. All right.
Yeah,
well,
I
can't hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just plugged into the show. I just chimed in on the show, so I don't really know what you're talking about today. How's it going?
Okay. Right now we're on the phone with Danny, and we're talking about transhumanism and how the Satanic Temple of Satan, is filing petitions now to get after-school programs for our children. And they say that the devil really doesn't exist. What they really want to use is rationalism and science to provide a better way for our children. And again, that the fourth under transhumanism, which basically wipes out faith, wipes out God. And it's really an atheistic movement, which atheism is rooted in Satanism. So that's what we're talking about. So would you have anything to add to that?
Yeah. Just to keep it simple, it's so unfortunate that so-called American people have forgotten that the power is with the people. And there's so much division in people. It's really challenging for people to focus on one issue out of all of these thousands. But if you look at somebody sitting in a high tower who people so-called select or believe they select or elect into office, it's an atrocity because no one even, strives to inform them of what is required, from him. So that's basically how I feel about all of these things.
Well,
people aren't doing their job.
Well, you're right. People are not doing their job. And I'm going to, now, when you say the people, you mean the voters, right?
Indeed. So-called American citizens, all of that good stuff.
Yes, and that is the problem. All people have to do is go see Dinesh D'Souza's film, Hillary's America, go home and spend it. I took a week because, well, this is what I do. And take a few days and just fact check everything he said. And I did, and everything he said was exactly true. And then after that, I challenge anyone, especially black people in America. I challenge you to continue to vote Democrat, and I challenge you to vote for Hillary Clinton. Because after you see that movie, you can't do it. You just can't do it unless you just enjoy being under this tyranny. I don't know. Because D'Souza does a great job of breaking down the Democratic Party from the day the Democratic-Republican Party under Thomas Jefferson split. And he did a great job. And I just challenge anybody to see the film and to tell me that you're going to vote Democrat again. And it's that simple, right? What's your thoughts? Caller?
Yes. My phone jumped to mute for some reason. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
I'd like to ask you a question. How would you feel, and anybody else that's on the line, if for some reason Obama maintained his seat?
Well, here's the thing. He really does not have precedent for that. When America was in the War of 1812, which statistically they lost to Great Britain, even though, America still kept its country. They didn't hand over any land, but it was a loss. We still had presidential elections. So, quite frankly, Obama has no grounds to say, wait, you know what, we've got so much civil unrest, and we've got this happening, hold it, I got to declare martial law and I have to suspend the election. He has no precedent to do it. Personally, I think that the American people will do nothing. I think we'll bitch and moan on Facebook. I think we'll bitch and moan on Twitter. I think we'll have cute little mini rallies, and we'll wave our do not tread on me flag and blah, 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 blah. And I think we'll just take it. I think we'll just take it. That's my opinion.
Indeed.
And I'll tell you why.
Yeah, I just...
Go ahead. Real quick. And then I got to... I'll tell you
why,
and then
I
got
to
close the show.
Just to see.
Okay.
Indeed. But, because...
Well, I'm
going to
tell
like
you
you're
why.
Saying.
I'm going to tell you why we'll do nothing. Because with all of the things that's taking place in this country, we are still too fat and happy. The Egyptians revolted against the Muslim Brotherhood, against Mohammed Morsi, because, well, their electricity was being turned off. They had food shortages. People were getting killed in the street for not being Muslim enough. Do you understand? It hit critical mass. The American people are not at critical mass yet. We still have all of our toys. We're still fat. We still go out to restaurants. We still have our stuff. There is nothing to risk yet. So I think that Obama would get away with it. And that's my explanation.
Excellent.
All right.
Because we have been dumbing down in a lot of ways. And I tell you, all the American people really have to do is do research on how things are done by the people in Europe. No chemtrails, mm-hmm. all of that stuff. GMOs have to be on boxes in bright letters. You know, just like you're saying, everybody in this country is basically asleep. I don't know if it's CERN or what, but, yeah, there's a lot of zombies here, you know. It's crazy.
Yes.
I'll try and catch the show next week.
Well, I'm on every day, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. So,
okay,
feel free to listen in.
Say.
Oh, I was going to say real quick that military white papers actually call, in times of civil unrest, they call people zombies. Because after 2 or 3 days of no food, your behavior starts to change. So we are actually called zombies in military white papers. So I want to thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. And again, if you haven't seen the movie Hillary's America, I recommend it. I recommend if you could take your friends, family, whatever. I also recommend Get a Hillary for Prison t-shirt from Infowars.com. I bought 4 of them. Shipping is free if you buy 3. Wear them everywhere. People will come up to you and talk, and you could do your thing right on the street. So I'm here Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Central Time. And again, thank you for the call. And we must be aware of Hillary's America. My name is Michael B. This is Mike's Hot Seat, Left is Never Right, knocking out the New World Order, one good card at a time.
The Democrats are the party of economic opportunity, social justice, and racial equality. That's their pitch. But is it true? Who are these Democrats?
It really goes back to this idea of social engineering and social control. In America, we call it progressivism. Soviet Union, they called it communism.
The whole purpose of the Democratic Party was to reestablish white supremacy.
The Democrats support slavery, while we, Republicans, oppose slavery.
To the Democratic Party.
This Civil Rights Act will allow colored men to sit at the same table beside the white guests.
The racism continued well into the 20th century.
We got to give them a little something, but not enough to make a difference.
Sometimes the violence intensified. Other times the racism merely changed form. Almost everything they did had a racist motive.
While Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, the Clintons took hundreds of millions of dollars from foreign entities.
Shame on you! Shame on you!
She looked very menacing. I was really frightened.
I didn't see any reason to keep them. The fact is, we have 4 dead Americans. What difference at this point does it make?
Imagine how much worse things could get if these 2 depraved crooks return to the White House.